Hey, Flaunt Squad. Boy, do we have a good show today. My mom is on the show today. 40-year veteran of running, marathon runner. She's been doing this for a long time, and she's still running, folks. So we're going to be talking about how she has maintained her running, and she's never had an injury. She's the person who trained me. She's the person who trained a lot of people in my family. I grew up in a running family, and she is probably the lead inspiration of all the runners in the family. So this is a good show, guys. If you are thinking about how old you are, or you're feeling like, oh, I'm too old to get out there and do this, throw that out the window, because she's been running since the late 70s, early 80s, folks. Early 80s, late 70s. There are no excuses. So sit back, relax, and listen to my mom, Rosie Anderson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, tell us a little bit about how you started running.
Okay, I was working one day, and I saw all these people running. I said, wow, what is that? And the lady I was working for, she said, well, that's the marathon. That's the Chicago Marathon is today. I said, oh, and I was kind of excited about it. I said to myself, I would like to do that. And so I was doing a little running anyway, you know, in the park out there at Washington Park. And so I didn't really know how to train for a marathon. Well, anyway, I was jumping in these little races around town, 3 miles and sometimes 5 miles. And so I asked a friend out there, I said, do you know anything about the, she said, yeah, we train for the marathon. I said, well, how do you train? He said, well, we have to do a certain miles per week. You don't want to do too many. Maybe you start with 2 or 3 miles, and then you increase it. And then if that feels comfortable, then you increase it. And then maybe you do a little, endurance. You know, that getting to your endurance, and then you do some laps, kind of fast laps. So you get used to running a little faster than usual. And so we started out, and I kind of liked that. I kind of liked that. For the, but anyway, I really started at, back up a little bit, at the Harris Y, Miss Duckwiler. She was our trainer. We were just taking aerobics at that time. And she carried us outside and said, we're going to run today. So that's really when I started running a little bit. Am I getting ahead of myself?
No, not at all. You said, did Miss Duckwally get you to start doing the 5Ks that you mentioned?
Yeah, she started. But then after I got used to running, I started doing the 5Ks. And I would tell her, she said, oh, Rosie, that's good. And she said, well, what are your time? I said, you know, I hadn't been thinking about my time. She said, well, check on your time and see how fast you can run these races. So I started doing that, and that's when I really, really started. But in Washington Park, I would do, when I could do maybe 6 miles around, that was good. I was excited about that. And then some of the men would go on the lake, but I would go over on Stony Island, as far as Stony Island, and let's see, what was that? 43rd Street and back. That's about 6 miles. And then we start going a little, I could start running with the men. And, you know, that's what I knew I could get better running with the men, because there wasn't too many women out there running. They were walking, but I wanted to run. I was looking forward to getting in that marathon one day. So we would go to, then increase the mileage of when we could go to, what's the name of that place down there? McCormick Place. That was about 12 miles from the park to McCormick Place. And then we would time it. We would time the run that we would have, and then we increased it to the Buckingham Fountain. That was 18 miles. And then we would run back to the park. So I was getting good then, getting pretty good, didn't do all that. But I had to do a lot of mileage per week, because I don't know about the other people, but I had to do a lot of mileage because I wanted to be sure that I could run that 26 miles. And the other runners that I didn't know, they said, well, you're not supposed to do 26 miles in training. But we would do more than 26 miles after we got, you know, so we can get comfortable doing 26 miles. We would come back, maybe go to, name of that place, North Avenue. But then we would go to Belmont. Now, Belmont is, to Washington Park back to Belmont is about 26 miles. I was doing good then. I was training every day. I would get out and train every day. And then my job at 910 Lakeshore, I would run there too, from the park, from Washington Park to Lakeshore. My job was at 1010 North Lakeshore. So I would carry my uniform. I was taking care of later there at 910 Lakeshore. So I would run there and then run back. So that would give me some mileage too. 10 miles there and 10 miles back.
Now you said when you ran your first marathon, you were exhausted after you finished. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Yes, because I didn't know exactly how to train. That was 1980. Was my first marathon.
And then after that first marathon, when you were exhausted, you said that you needed to run more miles in order to be able to do the marathon, because you said that you should not be tired at the end of a marathon. Can you explain that?
Right, exactly. That's what they tell me. You shouldn't be tired if you train right. You shouldn't be tired at the end of a marathon. But I was really tired, because that was the first one, and I didn't train right. I didn't get the mileage up like it was supposed to be.
How long did you train for that first marathon?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Oh, my. Several months. The marathon was in, at that time, the marathon was in October. So I would start, I had some people out there training, too, for the marathon, most of the men. And we would start, let's see, October. We would start in June, July, something like that, maybe May, doing a little mileage, you know, to work up to that distance and more.
And this was the early 80s. Why weren't there many women running back then, do you think?
You know, I don't know. It was work. I would ask some of the women. They said, They promised to come out, but then you never did see them anymore. They would walk, but, you know, that you got to train. I don't think they were serious enough to do that. A lot of the women out there walking, they were walking to lose weight, but they wasn't serious about running no marathon. And some were not serious about getting in the little races, 3 miles, you know, mile and a half. They had little races around town that you could get in. But they were not interested in that. So I don't know why. It's serious business trying to train. It's serious. I don't think they were serious enough to train for something like that.
Do you think you inspired many of the women out there?
I think so. I really think so. Because some would ask me, and she said, you're rolling. So you know how people talk. And it said they have you. This was Queen Bee. I developed the name of Queen Bee. This is Queen Bee. They got to know me as Queen Bee, and know that you know, I run the marathons and I train for the marathon and I go on the lake and run on the lake and all. So they got familiar with me, and I think they I inspired quite a few people, but, you know, I don't know whether they were serious enough to do that. I was serious. I wanted to run a marathon just to see how I felt running a marathon.
What drove you, do you think, to be so serious about running?
Well, you know, I guess it's something that I could do, found out that I could do, something that I could do and train to do and look forward to doing it. It was something simple to me, but it was serious too. Something that I wanted to do and be satisfied with myself. Because I found a lot out about myself running. You find a lot out by yourself about yourself running. You know, because the thoughts come in, you know, why you're out here, you know you're tired, you know you don't have to do this. Why are you doing this? Why are you beating yourself? And then, you know, I experienced all of that. But I didn't pay any attention because I wanted to finish the marathon. You know, these thoughts that come in. You know you're tired. Why don't you stop? No. I'm going to go to the finish line. This is the thoughts that come up to you. You know what I mean?
I definitely know what you mean.
Yeah, these thoughts come up. I say, no, I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the finish line. And so I learned a lot about myself of being, you know, determination. That I wanted to accomplish this.
What was the greatest thing that you learned about yourself while training?
Let me see. What is the greatest? Well, knowing that I could do, if I put my thoughts and put my mind to anything, I know I could do it. That was the greatest thing that, this is what within me. Knowing that if I wanted to do something, I could do it, and it was not impossible. I think that was the greatest thing. Because I never thought about, you know, years ago, I never thought about running. No, but these people out there, it was excited to me, exciting. It was just excitement, and I wanted to do it too.
You know, something that's really shocking to me since doing the show, having grown up around you and around other runners and runners in the park, and most of them are African American, I'm learning that there is really a stigma when it comes to running. And I didn't even know the stigma existed that Black people weren't supposed to run. Were there a lot of Black runners back then in the early
80s? No, it wasn't. When I would go on the lake, and I met this this white guy, and he said, you know, most of the, well, what, how did he say, you don't find too many Black people running this distance. They use a sprint. I said, oh, yeah, well, sprinting, I wasn't interested in sprinting. I want to do some distance. And they don't, you know, I said, well, no, I'm more endurance. I like the mileage. I like to do mileage.
Why do you think there's such a stigma, though?
I don't know how that started. And most of the people, I guess, back there were just sprinters. You didn't catch any of us running distance too much.
I'm still very confused as to why that is. I know Wilma Rudolph was one of your inspirations, but she was also a sprinter.
Yes, she was good, but she was a short distance, maybe a sprinter. Uh-huh. I think you're right about that. I don't know. That's just, it's not true, though. I don't know how that started, but it's not true with us.
No, it's not. Now, you started in this was about 40 years ago almost, and you're still running. Can you give some advice for people out there who are wondering whether or not you can even run for 40 years, because not many people you started with are still running. I see a lot of them walking now.
Yes. Well, you know, it's a lot of beliefs about injury. I never had an injury. They don't want to run on pavement. Oh, no, No, that's not good to run on pavement. No, I never did think that way. Pavement, you know, in the park or running, it was just running. I never did have that thought about. But a lot of us had the thought about that can't run on concrete, so, you know, about the legs or knees or something like that. I never did have that. I didn't even think about that.
Is there any particular thing that did keep you in shape during the 40 years that you've been running?
Yeah, keeping fit, going out there doing a little bit, always doing something, you know, never stopping, maybe not distant, but always, you know, always running. I love to run, and maybe I got out of that distance. But I would always do some running, and that kept me kind of fit. That kept me fit. But I think I got to turn off of that 26 miles of distance, that distance, because it took a lot for me to train for that. Yeah, a lot. It took a lot. I know when I was really ran that, 3 hours and 26 or 27 minutes. Now that, I was running, I remember exactly, I was running about 22 or 23 miles a week. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, short distance, maybe 10, and then maybe 20, and then back to 6, but I was always doing my mileage, keeping my mileage up, because I found out I had to do that in order to accomplish that 26 miles pretty good and not just feel drug out and coming across the finish line.
It seems training has really changed lately, where people do a lot of run walking in order to train. Is that something that you all did back then, or was it straight running?
It was straight running with us. It was straight running. We didn't run. We didn't walk or run, you know, and walk and run. It was straight running. I don't remember doing that at all.
Yeah, it seems like it's something very new. And I don't know if the thought process is new now than it was back then. But I see a lot of people doing the walking, running for training. And I was wondering if you all did that back then. But this was straight running, 36-mile running that you all were doing.
Right, right. That would really get you fit for that 26 miles, and you don't feel just give out coming across the finish line. You feel that you can run maybe another 5 miles, and that's a good feeling. And you know you're in shape, and you know you're not just give out.
Now, your first trainer, Miss Duckwally, she was a plus size runner. What made you choose her as your trainer?
You know, when I went to the Harris Y, I think she chose us because I didn't see anybody else doing that exercise that she was doing. She was our teacher. She was our instructor. Miss Harris was mostly in the pool. She taught swimming, Miss Harris did. But Miss Duckwiler, she was the one that taught us and taught you too, the kids, and then she would teach the grown-ups aerobics, you know, and jump rope and stuff like that. And she could jump. Oh, my, Miss Duckwiler could jump. It didn't have nothing to do with her size, because she was in shape. Miss Duckwiler was in shape.
And Miss Harris was a plus-size swimmer, and Miss Duckwiler was a plus-size runner, I remember.
Right. Yeah, Miss Harris would swim. Boy, she's a good swimmer, too. She would teach us sometime at the Y. We had different teachers, but Miss Harris taught us, the ones that wanted to, you know, the beginner swimming, she taught us, and her daughter did too. Sometimes they would alternate teaching.
Not just your marathon running, but running in general, what is the biggest lesson that you've learned over the years as a runner?
In what category? You know, running, it's other things to keep in shape, but running, it seemed to be in every sport, like the boxers run, and the swimmers run. It's just running seemed to be basic, basic for any type of sports, I think. Uh-huh. You see guys out there boxing, a boxer, they run to keep in shape. Mm-hmm. Running is basic. I think running is basic. It seems to be a basic training for any type of sports.
How does it feel to have left a family kind of legacy of running? Because it's not just you in the family who runs. We have a lot of runners, and I think they were inspired by you. How does it feel to have left, well, you're leaving such a big legacy of running in the family?
Oh, that's a good question. But, you know, the son, Frank Lindsay, he ran cross country in high school at Mendel. He ran cross country. And we were in some races together, Frank and I. Uh-huh, my son, we was in some races together. And most of the time I would come in before him. Because I think my training was not like his training. Because he belonged to that organization, Cora. And Cora said, you're not supposed to run no marathon in training. But we ran marathons. We ran maybe 30, 32 or 33 miles in training. But we didn't do it that often. But we had to do it to find out how we were going to feel. But Cora said, no, you can't, don't do that. Don't do your 26 miles in training.
Why did they say that?
I don't know. I never did know. I don't know. I don't think it's good. It wasn't good for us. Because, it's good not just all the time, but once in training, maybe twice, you do the distance. You do the distance. You just find out, how you feel. Is there enough training for you now? You can tell if it's enough because how you feel after you do that 26 miles. Uh-huh, at least once or twice in training. You got to know how you feel. That's the way we feel. Do it in training.
Did you do any cross training? Like, were you swimming and training for the marathon and jumping rope? I know you were jumping rope during Madeline Duckwally's class.
Oh, yeah. She wanted you to jump rope. That was basic, too, jumping rope. Uh-huh. Well, swimming, I never did get the hang of swimming because the breathing. It took me a while to get the breathing together, alternating the breathing with the kicking and all. But finally I got it, and I did do a little.
Then your basic marathon training was the jumping rope and running a lot of miles.
Right. That was basic to me. Most of it was basic for all of us, all the guys out there. Mm-hmm. That was basic training. But some of the guys would lift weights. I never did get into that, weightlifting. I never did get into that. So it feels so good when you accomplish what you set out to accomplish. Accomplish running a marathon, you accomplish it. Boy, that's a good feeling. You accomplish what you set out, what you trained for. That is so good. You know for yourself, because you start running, cool. I would carry you out to the park. Six, 7 years old? You start running, and you could run that park in about 19 minutes. A mile and a half, they say, a little better than a mile and a half around that park.
Why do you think it was important for you to get your children into physical training?
Well, the way I really love for the kids, I wanted them to know, to achieve. That would be a life thing when you be in shape, that you'll know how you feel. Keep your, because that prevents a lot of so-called sickness. Keeping fit, out training and running and swimming and doing all the, you know, that keeps you fit. And a lot of these so-called diseases and stuff, that's what the, you got to be active. The body is made to be active. And I wanted you all to be active. And you proved that. I wanted you all to keep fit. You know? And started you off early, Steve.
What words of advice do you have for people right now who may be a little bit, I don't know, they're second guessing themselves when it comes to getting out there and training for their first marathon?
Well, you got to be consistent. You can't just, you know, come out once or twice, but you got to be consistent. You got to get your program together, and the days that you run, how many miles you're going to run today, and stick with it. You got to stick with it. That's the way I had a program. So I knew if I do 10 miles today, I would do maybe, let's see, if I would do 7 miles today, I know I would do maybe 12 or 13 miles when I come out again. And then, you know, that adds up so you know how many mileage per week that you're doing. It's consistency. You got to be consistent to be good and accomplish what you're set out to accomplish.
I'm catching you right after your yoga class because you're still training out there, running, swimming, yoga.
I think I would always run a mile or two, maybe 2 or 3 miles. I'll always run. I'll always be active because I feel good being active. And I tell the other people that's out there, and they said, well, you know, how old? I said, well, I don't have no age here. I just go. I don't believe in age too much because if you start believing in age, a lot of things you wouldn't do. You get to this age and say, oh, no, you're not supposed to do that. So I don't pay any attention to that. I want to do what I want to do because I feel good being active. I think that's my word. Don't think about age. I was out there, I'll say this right quick. I was out there doing my rollerblades, and I would carry them in my trunk of the car. So this particular day, I was over there on Washington Park in the parking lot. I said, well, let me go and get my rollerblades and go around maybe 2 or 3 times. So I put on my rollerblades and went around and around, and a man in the car was looking at me. And when I went over to take them off, he said, Miss, how old are you? You know, some people say, I said, Miss, I'm not going to tell you how old I am because I don't believe in no age. I said, if I start believing in age, I wouldn't be on these rollerblades. So I'm just tuning that out. That's why I can do what I want to do to tune that age out because it's just a number. You know, I don't take it serious at all. That's why I can do what I want to do. You start believing age, you can't do this, no, you better not do this, no, you know you're getting, you know how that thing, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Don't do that, you know you're getting up in age now. I said, no, no way, I'm going to do what I want to do because I don't even think that age is serious enough, not to me. I think being active heals. It heals situations and things. I'm so glad you interviewed me because I have a lot to say.
And thank you. We're going to have you on the show again. I do appreciate you being on the show. And thank you for giving us words of wisdom.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. Always be active. Don't think about age. Just get out there and do. Let that age thing go. It's a belief. You don't believe in it because if you do, you won't do the things that you want to do. You wouldn't accomplish anything. I know I said that for myself. If I was believing in age, there's certain things I wouldn't do. But I'm glad I just put that aside and go on and do like I want to do. It helps. It works. It heals.
Woo, I'm inspired. Are you inspired, Flaunt Squad? If you are, go ahead and go to flauntperformance.com and pick up 6 free laws of power for the voluptuous runner. That's 6 free laws of power for the voluptuous runner. And also subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. I'll catch you next time.